Today, we're going to be reading from 10th Canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, text, chapter 81, text 35 through 37. And we'll read the first two verses, 35 and 36, we'll read together, and then 37, we can chant responsively. So anybody who wants to chant along with me, feel free. Kinchit karotyuravapi yatsvadatam suhrit kritam phalgyapi buddhikari mayopanitam prityukakamushtim pratyagrahit prityuto mahatma. Translation: the Lord considers even his greatest benedictions to be insignificant while he magnifies even a small service rendered to him by his well-wishing devotees. Thus, with pleasure, the Supreme, there's something wrong here. Personnel of God had accepted a single palmful of the flat rice I brought him. Text 36. Chasyaiva me sahrita sakya maitri, chasyam punar janmani janmani syat. Mahanubhavena gunalayena visajatastat purusha prasanga. Translation: the Lord is a supremely compassionate reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Life after life, may I serve him with love, friendship, and sympathy, and may I cultivate such firm attachment for him by the precious association of his devotees. As explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Sahrida here signifies affection toward him who is so compassionate to his devotees. Sakyam is affinity manifested in the desire to live in his company. Any of you good with Kindle? I just need to move it over a little bit. Do you know how to do that? Any of you? What? When I slide it, it goes to the next verse. Yeah? Okay, come on. Let's see, I can't read the whole thing. It just changes the names. Okay, so technical problems here, but we'll just move along. Sure, why don't you go ahead and read it from the board. Signifies affection toward him who is so compassionate to his devotees. Sakyam is affinity manifested in the desire to live in his company. Maitri is the attitude of intimate comradeship, and Dasyam is the urge to do service. Thank you. And this is the verse we'll chant together, so I'll read it first, and then we'll take turns responding. Bhaktaya Chitra Bhagavan Hi Sampado. Rajam Vibhutir Na Samarjya Yatyaja. Adirga Bodhaya Vichakshana Swayam. Pasyani patam daninam madobhavam. Bhaktaya chitra bhagavan hi sampado. Rajam vibhutir na samarta yatyaja. Adirga bodhaya vichakshana swayam. Pasyani patam daninam madodbhavam. Pataya chitra bhagavan hi sampado. Rajam vibhutir na samarjya chitra. Adir Gavodaya Vichakshana Swayam. Pasyanni Patam Dani Namado Bhavan. Bhaktaya Chitra Bhagavan Hisampado. Rajam Vibhuti Nasamartha Yatyaja. Adirga Bodhaya Vichakshana Swayam. Pasyanni Patam Dani Namado Bhavan. Ladies, Taya Chitra Bhagavan Hisampado. Rajam Vibhuti Nasamata Yatraja. Adirga Bodhaya Vichakshana Swayam. Pasyanni Patam Dani Nambhalo Bhavan. Okay, Bhaktivedanta Academy. Bhaktaya Chitra Bhagavan Hisampado. Rajam Vibhutirna Samartha Yatcha. Adirga Bodhaya Vichakshana Swayam. Pasyanni Patam Dani Namabho Bhavam. Bhaktaya Chitra Bhagavan Hisampado. Rajam Vibhutirna Samartha Yatcha. Adirga Bodhaya Vichakshana Swayam. Pasyanni Patam Dani Namano Bhavam. Bhaktaya Chitra Bhagavan Hisampado. Rajam Vibhutirna Samartha Yatcha. Adirga Bodhaya Vichakshana Swayam. Pasyanni Patam Dani Namabho Bhavam. Bhaktaya Chitra Bhagavan Hisampado. Rajam Vibhuti Samavakta Yatcha. Adirga Bodhaya Vichakshana Swayam. Pasyanni Patam Dani Namabho Bhavam. Translation by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. To a devotee who lacks spiritual insight, the Supreme Lord will not grant the wonderful opulences of this world, kingly power and material assets. Indeed, in his infinite wisdom, the unborn Lord well knows how the intoxication of pride can cause the downfall of the wealthy. I say, you say, to a devotee who lacks spiritual insight, the Supreme Lord
will not grant
the wonderful opulences of this world,
kingly power and material assets.
Indeed, in his infinite wisdom,
the unborn Lord well knows
how the intoxication of pride can cause the downfall of the wealthy. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And first, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. As explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the humble Brahmana Sudama considered himself unworthy of the Supreme Lord's most rare and valuable benediction, pure devotional service. He reasoned that if he had any true devotion, the Lord would have granted him perfect, unflinching devotional service rather than the material riches and servants he had received. Lord Krishna would have protected a more serious devotee by denying him such distractions. The Lord will give a sincere but less intelligent devotee not as much material wealth as he desires, but only what will promote his devotional progress. Sudamana thought, a great saint like Prahlad Maharaj can avoid becoming contaminated by immeasurable wealth, power, and fame, but I must always be wary by temptation in my new situation. We may understand that this humble attitude assured Sudama Vipra final success in his execution of Bhakti Yoga by the standard process of hearing and repeating the glories of Lord Krishna. Okay, so I thought for the benefit of Bhaktivedanta Academy and anyone who isn't totally up on what we've been studying in these last two chapters, I just give a quick recap. So it kind of starts back when Krishna and Sudama were friends in the Gurukula of Sandipani Muni. And they were studying under his direction, and one day he asked them if they would go and gather some wood for the sacrificial fire and for everything that they needed. So they very gladly agreed to do that, because when you're living in an ashram under the guidance of a spiritual master, the whole idea is to develop that humility and service attitude. So they went to the forest and they began to gather wood, and all of a sudden everything began to change. The sky got dark, the thunder started to roll, the rain started to pour down so heavily that they took shelter in a tree, and they climbed the tree and just kind of took some shelter there. And after a long period of time, the rain stopped. But by then it got dark, and plus a lot of the area was flooded, and they couldn't find their way. So they ended up having to spend the night in the forest, and you can imagine that could be a difficult task. Of course, he was with Krishna, so not as difficult as it might be with being with somebody else. So they stayed there all night, and the next morning, you can imagine, Sandipani Muni, the guru, was very concerned about his disciples. So he came with some of his other disciples looking for them, and they found them in the forest. And Sandipani Muni was glorifying Krishna and Sudama, saying that in this world, everyone's body, it's the most important thing. They're all concerned about their body, but these young boys took such trouble to please him. So he gave them benediction. He gave them several benedictions for their hard labor and for their austerity. Of course, as time went on and they got older, you know, they parted ways. Krishna had so many pastimes he was engaged in, and Sudama Brahmana got married, living in a small village. And Sudama Brahmana, he was very devoted to Krishna, mostly doing devotional service and studying, and he just accepted whatever Krishna gave him. And of course, that's significant of a Brahmana. Prabhupada says in one place that a Brahmin is someone who is satisfied in whatever condition he finds himself in. He may find himself in a very wealthy situation, that's very easy to accept, or he may find himself in a situation of poverty, but the Brahmin accepts that equally. He knows that Krishna knows what's best for him, and so he just accepts what comes. So they were so poor that they didn't really have enough to eat, and their clothes were ragged, and they were emaciated. Anybody knows what emaciated means? Anybody know what that word means? So emaciated means they're very, very thin, very skinny, so skinny that even the veins in their arms are showing. So Sudama's wife, she was also a Brahmin, was also very qualified, and she wasn't concerned so much about herself, but she was very concerned about Sudama, and that he would get sick from not having enough to eat. And she knew that Sudama Brahmin, his friend, was Krishna. So she kept on asking him, go see Krishna, and he'll be able to help you. Of course, Sudama Brahmin didn't want to go and ask for Krishna for help. Does anybody know why Sudama Brahmin wouldn't want to do that? Yes. Why do you think? Yes. Yeah, he doesn't want to ask for anything material from the Lord. But finally, after a while, he decided he was going to go because he just got kind of enthusiastic about the idea of seeing Krishna again. So he said, yeah, okay, I'm going to go see Krishna. And he said, but you have to get me a present to give to the Lord. Of course, they didn't really have any presents in their home. They were so poor. So the wife went and begged from the neighbors 4 palmfuls of chipped rice. And chipped rice is like the very poorest kind of, low-grade rice. Put it in a handkerchief, tied it up, and gave it to Sudama Brahmana. And off he went on the long trip to Dwarka to see Lord Krishna. When he got there, there's like 3 different gates you have to pass before you get in, because not just anybody can go in to see the Lord, but because Sudama was a Brahmana, they let him through all 3 gates. And then Lord Krishna was looking from his palace, and he saw Sudama Brahmana, and he became very excited to see his old friend. He became so excited that when Sudama Brahmana walked in through the door, he ran and embraced him with both arms very tightly. And Rukmini, his wife, she was amazed. And so were the other servants. They said they had only seen Krishna embrace 2 people. One was Rukmini, his wife, and the other one was Balaram, his brother. And who was this person that he was embracing? He was very poor. He was very thin. He wore ragged clothes, and he wasn't even that clean, probably because he'd been walking so long on his journey. Lord Krishna gave Sudama his seat. He offered him nice prasadam, and he bathed his feet. So this is another example of how much Krishna loves the brahmanas. Namo brahmanya devaya, go brahmanya hitaya cha, jagat hitaya krishnaya, govindaya namo maha. Krishna loves the brahmanas, and he loves the cows. And so then Krishna and Sudama, they began to talk about the old days. Just like when you get older, maybe you're 17 years old, some of you, and you start talking about what it was like in the Gurukul. So they were reminiscing. Reminiscing means talking about the old days. And they were just really enjoying their memories. And then Krishna said to Sudama, Sudama, I think you brought a present for me. And Sudama Brahmana was so embarrassed. Here he's in this beautiful palace. Everything is bejeweled. Everyone's wearing all this opulent clothing. He was embarrassed to give his little gift of chipped rice to Krishna. So Krishna asked him again, I know that you brought me a present, right? And Sudama Brahmana just kind of put his head down because he was so embarrassed. And then Krishna just snatched it. He just took it, opened it up, and was like, wow, look at this, what you brought me. He took a bite and ate it, and he went to take another bite, and his wife Rukmini said, stop, don't have any more. What you've eaten right now, this offering from Sudama, is enough to satisfy the entire creation. So that's another clue that when we do something out of love for Krishna, it benefits the whole universe, and we know how much the universe needs help these days, especially. So Sudama Brahmana, he accepted this offering that he gave with such love and devotion. There's another explanation that I read, that the reason that Rukmini stopped Krishna, this explanation said that Rukmini was afraid that if Krishna ate any more of the rice, of the raw chipped rice, he might get a stomachache, and she didn't want him to do that. So that was another version of why he was stopped. So Sudama Brahmana, the way the story ends is Sudama Brahmana, after his association with Krishna, he goes home. He never asks them for anything. He was just so happy to be in his association. So as he gets close and close to home, he looks and he sees this whole palace. And he's like, wow, what's this? What's going on here? And pretty soon, these beautifully dressed servants of his in beautiful bodies, they come and they start playing music and chanting hymns. And they inform his wife that Saddam is coming. She comes out in beautiful clothing, and she's all beautiful, flowers in her hair, and she closes her eyes and pays her obeisance to her husband and embraces him. And Sudama Brahmana then realizes, wow, all of this came from Krishna. At first he couldn't figure out what happened. Then he thought, this is from Krishna. Even I didn't ask him for anything, but because of the nice service, this is how we were benedicted. So in the verse that we chanted together, it explains that you know, sometimes Krishna, he won't give people this kind of opulence. Like, we all think, well, that'd be nice. I'll do some nice service for Krishna and get a nice palace with everything that I need. That would be wonderful. But Krishna, he knows us. He knows inside our hearts. He knows, would you really use all that in Krishna's service? Like, he knew that Sudama would do that. But maybe for some of us, he knows that it might be, like it mentions in the verse, it might be a big temptation. So he may not give us that. He'll give us exactly what we need to be able to execute our service nicely. So we should always be thinking of how we can do our service with love. And I know that some of you have to leave soon. So would you like to hear one more story before you leave? Okay. So this story is about a devotee. His name is Bandhu Mahanti. And he was a great servant of Lord Jagannath. And Bandhu Mahanti, he was married, he had a few children. He wasn't even a Brahmana. And Bandhu Mahanti was living in a difficult time. There was a drought in the area he was living. What is a drought? Anybody know what a drought is? Yes. Right, there's no rain. So if there's no rain, then the crops aren't watered. And so there's not enough food. So his family and all the families in the area were very hungry because there wasn't enough food. And Bandhu Mahanti, his main occupation was just reading about Lord Jagannath, worshiping Lord Jagannath, and studying about Lord Jagannath. And he was always talking about his friend, Jagu. He'd always say, oh, my friend, he'll be able to take care of everything. Don't worry. He'd tell the neighbors when they were so worried about starving to death, don't worry, Jagu will be able to save us. So finally his wife said, well, you know, if Jagu can save you, let's go and find him. Let's go talk to him. And he's like, no, it wouldn't be appropriate because he's king. He's a king and he lives in a palace and with beautiful clothes. And we're just not prepared. We should be wearing nice clothes and we should be bearing nice gifts when we go. His wife said, well, you know, if he's really your friend, then we should just be able to go. He'll understand our situation. So finally, Bandhu Mahanti, a little reluctantly, decided, okay, that they would go. So they thought, oh, people would give them prasadam along the way. But because it was such a scarcity of food, they didn't even get much prasadam along the way. And it took them 3 days to get there. And when they arrived in Puri, it was already dark. So the wife said, well, let's go find your friend Jagu. And Bandhu Mahanti said, well, let's wait till the morning because it's so dark and I can't find my way. His wife didn't even know who Jagu really was, the deity of Lord Jagannath. She hadn't told him that yet. So they found a place at the side of the temple and they kind of put their blankets down. They laid down to sleep. And Bandhu Mahanti, he fell asleep right away and so did the children. But the wife was kind of up just worrying, as mothers and wives often do. And all of a sudden she heard somebody calling. Bandhu, Bandhu Mahanti, Bandhu Mahanti, where are you? And she sat up and she was like, well, we're over here. Here we are. So he came over, this very beautiful kind of darkish young man, beautifully dressed with turban. And he had a golden tray and it was filled with prasadam, samosas and kachoris and curd sabjis, bitter melon and sweet rice, everything you can imagine somehow was on this golden tray. So she said, please take this. Bandhu Mahanti is my friend. And this is for you and him and the family. So the wife was dumbfounded. She couldn't believe it. And she thought, should I wake her, my husband? But then she decided not to because she knew how tired he was. And she thought that wouldn't be appropriate. But her children woke up, so they all honored prasadam. The first time that they had been really satisfied in a long time. And then they went to sleep. In the morning, they all woke up. And the wife told Bandhu Mahanti what had happened. And he just started crying. He was like, why didn't you wake me up? Because you got to see him. And I went, oh, my goodness. So finally, he honored prasadam. He took prasadam. And he was just feeling so ecstatic. And then inside the temple, there was a big commotion going on. Why was there a big commotion going on? What do you think? Anybody know? Yes. Well, because Jagannath returned, but the golden tray was gone. So we're like, where's the golden tray? Who took the tray? So people are outside and inside searching, looking for the tray. They can't find it. Finally, someone goes, there it is. And Jagannath had put it under his pillow for safekeeping. So they took the tray. They arrested Bandhu Mahanti and took him to the king. And the king in Puri is known as the moving Jagannath because he takes care of all matters related to Lord Jagannath. And they brought Bandhu Mahanti to him, and he was very, very sober and serious and said that the next day he was going to be sentenced for his crime. In the meantime, Bandhu Mahanti's wife and children crying, no, no, he didn't steal the tray. His friend Jagu gave it to him. That's what happened. But nobody believed him. So that night, the king went to sleep. He had a dream. He had a dream that Lord Jagannath started speaking to him and said, my dear king, when a friend comes to visit you, what do? You offer him nice prasadam. You offer him a nice sitting place. And that's what I did with my friend, Bandhu Mahanti. I gave him some prasadam. And you arrested him. Jagannath said, are you going to arrest me too? He said, you better do something about this. And you better seek forgiveness from Bandhu Mahanti right away. So the king was completely flabbergasted and remorseful. So in the morning, he immediately went to Bandhu Mahanti, paid his obeisances, and asked for forgiveness. I'm so sorry. And he also arranged for the family to have a special place in the temple where they would live for all the rest of their lives. And they were in charge of doing the first offering of the day for Lord Jagannath. And even though he wasn't a brahmana, Prabhupada explains in the scriptures that a Vaishnav, someone who has such love and devotion to Lord Krishna, they're higher. That's the highest position. So to this day, people with the surname of Mohanty, many serve in the temple in Puri, and they make this first offering of milk, and it's sweet rice and ghee all cooked together. It's something called like khichda. Anyway, that's another example of the love and devotion that the devotees have for the Lord and that the Lord has for his devotee. So also, one of the points that was made by Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, they were making the point that Sudama Brahmana, he didn't even consider himself a Brahmana. You know, even though he was so learned and so qualified, he considered himself to be a Brahma Bandhu, which means the friend of a Brahmana. And Prabhupada also talks about another devotee of Lord Chaitanya, Murari Gupta, and because he was born in a Vaidya family, he was considered a Shudra. But because of his devotion, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, poured his mercy upon him, and he achieved the highest level because of his love and devotion. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he really emphasized this point about a Vaishnav being above any kind of caste and that being qualified by his devotion. Srila Prabhupada says that a Brahmana is seen by his symptoms, some of the way that he behaves. Like the qualities of a Brahmana are peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, religiousness. These are the qualities that a Brahmana exhibits. And these are the qualities you can tell if someone's a Brahmin or not. So Prabhupada emphasized that we should exhibit these qualities, that you can't just get your Brahman thread and think, okay, I'm a Brahman now, I'm done. No, he said, actually, Prabhupada says the members of the Hare Krishna movement, they can't even consider themselves to be Brahma Bandhus, he said. That we're simply made of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And he said that our real qualification is Jari Dako Tari Koho, Krishna Upadesh, Amar Agyai Guru Hoy Tara Edesh. That our qualification is understanding Prabhupada's order, Krishna's order, and going out into the land and giving Krishna consciousness to everyone. That's our qualification, and that's our main business. That's our family business. So next week, you know, we're all planning on going out and giving the mercy to all the non-devotees, you know, all the devotees and all the non-devotees, just trying to engage them in some service for Krishna. There's a really nice verse in Bhagavad Gita that goes, Vijvanaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini Shuni Chaiva Swapake Cha Pandita Samadarshina, that a humble Brahmana, that he sees everyone the same. He sees the Brahmana, the dog, the dog eater, the elephant, everyone, because he's seeing the spirit soul. So when we go out next week, we should also be trying to develop that spiritual vision of seeing the spirit soul. Someone may seem this way or someone may seem that way, but if we're, you know, someone may say, oh, that person looks nice or this person doesn't look nice. We don't really know, because it's the spirit soul. And maybe the spirit soul hasn't had a devotee approach him in who knows how many lifetimes. It's a very, very special time when the devotee is approaching the spirit soul and trying to connect him again to Krishna. So we don't know who's going to give a donation, who's not, but we should be praying, please. Let this person take a cake, make a donation, or maybe just say the Hare Krishna mantra. The Hare Krishna mantra is so powerful that I was also reading some quotes that even the lowest class of men is delivered from his sinful activities simply by hearing the holy name of the Lord. There was a conversation between King Chitraketu and Lord Sankarshan, where he said, my Lord, it is not impossible for one to be immediately freed from all material contamination by seeing you, not to speak of seeing you personally, merely by hearing the holy name of your lordship only once. Even chandalas, men of the lowest class, are freed from all material contamination. Under the circumstances, who will not be freed from material contamination simply by seeing you? And we're fortunate because we're able to see the Lord every day. Well, there's also the verse, you can say it along with you. I think you probably know it. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama Eva Kevalam, Kaluva Nasteva, 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 Katira Nyata. That in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. There's no other way. There's no other way. There's no other way. And during my research, I found an amazing quote. Actually, it was in Krishna Kripa's website. I was looking at his website because I wanted to show a little clip of the devotees out on Hari Nam in different situations. There was a place in Eastern Europe that was like so ecstatic. The devotees were doing Hari Nam, and everyone was dancing with them. And was it last Saturday we went? Was it last Saturday or Saturday before? Anyway, we went out to the homecoming game, and the game was between the FSU and, you know, the Gators. And so there was so many people, like I think 70, 80,000 people were there for that game. So what they didn't know is it wasn't really the main part of the program, wasn't watching the Gators lose, because they were completely slaughtered. You know, it was like 30-2 or something like that. But their main purpose, right, Keshava, in coming to the football game was to see the devotees. And it was so much fun because there was like 40 of us out there. And there was one devotee in particular. What is her name, Keshava? Christiana. Christiana. And if anyone was just even kind of went like this, she'd go up to him and start dancing. So pretty soon it was like the whole stadium, I mean, from my small vision, everybody was dancing and chanting. It was just really so much fun. And I was looking for a clip, you know, to show up here, because I know, you know, some of the devotees do that sometimes. But I came across this quote that he had on his website. And this is a quote by Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada says, "My advice," of course, this was a letter to Roy Ram in 1969. And he said, "My advice, in any circumstance, you must come out on Harinam Sankirtan at least for 1 hour a day, on the streets or in a park. This is your life and soul. Our first business." Of course, anyway, I'll keep reading. "The next duty in order of importance is to complete your 16 rounds every day. Then edit books. And if there's any time left, you can attend the temple program. But it's okay not to do it if you don't have enough time for it. But the street kirtan, editing and publishing books, 16 rounds of japa must be done. And the street kirtan must go on, even at a cost of temporarily slowing down all editing. This street kirtan is your most important business, your first priority. Temple worship is not as important. If necessary, temple can be closed, but the street harinam must not be stopped." So this is our business. This is our family business. And whenever we can, even if it's for an hour a week, you come down to university and 441 to chant. Or even if, like, some of the students are so musically talented that it blows my mind. I've been trying to take harmonium lessons, and it's kind of pathetic. I wouldn't play until, you know, I get better. But I think of how quickly that you all learn these musical instruments. And it would be nice if even some of you got together and you went to a park and you chanted, because people would really take a look at a group of young men and women that were able to play music so beautifully and chant Hare Krishna. So we're lucky to be in this Krishna conscious movement. We're lucky to be able to be following someone as exalted as Sudama Brahmana. And since we read the story, the history, we have that benediction that gradually, that's the benediction. And we went through the history today, and that's what the benediction said, that gradually we will become as qualified as Sudama Brahmana. It's just a matter of how fast or how slow we want to do it, but we can do it. So I think I'll stop here. If anybody has any comments or questions or stories they would like to add, yes, Tom Harper.
Hare Krishna, I wanted to say this before all the students left, but there's still a few of you. Most of you know Mother Sukada as a longtime teacher here in New Ramanreti, but she also distributed books for Srila Prabhupada for many, many years.
15 years.
And when did you join in Miami, 1973?
Beginning in 1973.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was at the Miami Temple. I think I was a Sankirtan leader or something. And Bhakti Sandy shows up. And first day she moved in the temple, first thing she does, she comes to me and says, "I want to go out on Sankirtan." And I said, "Well, usually you have to be a devotee for a while, you know, kind of get used." She says, "No, I really want to go. I really want to go." So she demanded, practically. And so we went out on, took her out on our Sankirtan party the next day. And I may have done as much as you did in terms of collection the first day, but after that, it was like she was so far beyond all of us. And he was just
such a good Sankirtan leader.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Why.
No, I just followed in her footsteps the best I could. Anyway, are you taking the kids out this year? Are you going out with them?
I am.
So yeah, you have a wonderful opportunity to go out with Mother Sukada, who is one of our absolute premier Sankirtan devotees in this movement. So it was very nice.
All right. Anyone else have a comment? Okay. So we'll stop here. Thank you so very much. Was there somebody else? Go ahead.